That's also a silent prayer. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we commence our family altar for this evening. Let's sing Hymn 47. Sing Hymn 47. My bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come into thy freedom, gladness, and light. Jesus, I come to thee out of my sickness into thy health. Out of my want and into thy wealth, out of my sin and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come into the glorious gain of thy cross. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of earth's sorrows into thy balm, out of life's storms and into thy calm. Out of distress to jubilant psalm, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of unrest and arrogant pride, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come into thy blessed will to abide. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of myself to dwell in thy love, out of despairing to just above. But for on wings like a dove, Jesus, I come to out of the fear and dread of the tomb, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come into the joy and light of thy home, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the depths of ruin untold, into the peace of thy sheltering fold, ever thy glorious face to behold, Jesus, I come to thee. We give thanks to our Lord Jesus. So for this evening's family altar, we shall read Psalms 10. Psalms 10, 10. In the name of Jesus, I read, Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boasts of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. For in the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. His ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high, out of his sight. As for all his foes, he puffs at them. 6. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall not meet adversity. 7. His mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. He sits in ambush in the villages. In hiding places, he murders the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch over for the helpless. He lurks in ambush like a lion in his thicket. He lurks that he may seize the poor. He seizes the poor when he draws him into his net. The helpless are crushed, sink down, and fall by his might. He says in his heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted. 13. Why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, you will not call to account? But you do see, for you note mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands. To you the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the fatherless. 15. Break the arm of the wicked and evildoer. Call his wickedness to account till you find none. 16. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations perish from his land. 17. O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear. 18. To do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. So this psalm actually has no title, because it shares similar themes with Psalms 9. And some even say this was originally the second half of Psalms 9. So this psalm is actually a psalm which stands on its own, a psalm of lament at the seemingly prosperity of the wicked, but he has ultimate confidence in the judgments of God. So here, first of all, the author questioned the success of the wicked. So from verses 1 to 4, so it seems the psalmist is questioning the seemingly inactivity of God against the wicked. Therefore, in verse 1, he says, why, O Lord, do you stand far away? So here the psalmist once again asks a question well known to all those who follow the Lord God. His concern, his anxiety, and his seemingly inactivity of God. So the psalmist felt that God was very far off and was even hiding in these times of trouble. So these times of trouble, this statement, it also means cutting off. Let's see Psalms 9 verse 9. 9 verse 9. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. So at that time, there is still, it means a cutting off of hope of deliverance. Then we can continue to see that the wicked in his pride will persecute those who are poor. So this explains to us why the psalmist was so troubled that the Lord seems doing nothing. He sees the wicked, the proud man who not only persecutes the poor and approves other sinners, and he also blesses, it seems he's blessing the greedy. But these people sin against the Lord. Where they renounce the Lord, does not seek God, and even God is not in his thoughts. So we can immediately recognize this type of people as being sinful. Yet the psalmist here says, those who do not seek God, those who do not think the Lord, are in the same category as those who renounce the Lord. So those who do not seek him, this is a sin. Those who do not think about God is also a sin. because man has his obligations to the Lord God as his creator. Therefore, if we neglect the Lord, it is wrong, because they are proud. So ignoring God is an expression of our independence, or even so-called to speak, we think we are equal or even more superior than the Lord God. And it can be said that God was none in his thoughts. So at the same time, he would not think of God, as we can see in Psalms 10. Psalms 10 in verse 11, he says in his heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face, he will never see it. 13, why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, you will not call to account? So in the thoughts, God has forgotten, God has hidden his face, they will never be able to see. Furthermore, we can also see, let them be caught in the plots of which they have devised. So this was the prayer of the psalmist to the wicked. So in other psalms, he also have an expectation. So this was actually a heartfelt prayer of the psalmist. Then we see the next part from verses 5 to 7 is the pride of the wicked. Let's see verses 5 to 7. So he seems that his ways prosper at all times. So here the psalmist protested against the Lord. Not only did the wicked seem to enjoy constant prosperity, but he did so because he knew that the judgments of God were far above, out of his sight. So we can imagine to ourselves that the psalmist at that time, hoping that God would demonstrate his judgment to the wicked man, he would change. Yes, it seems like a complaint to the Lord, but it should be more to be seen as a confidence in the authority and rule of the Lord. So the psalmist recognized that the wicked could never prosper unless God allowed it. So at that time he appealed to God not to allow this. Because these enemies at that time, he has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, I shall not meet adversity all generations. So the psalmist again exposed the sins of this wicked man who is not afraid of his enemies. So in the wicked man's heart, there was pride, there was sin in his mouth and under his tongue. Therefore, there was no wonder we can see that the psalmist wanted to ask God to stop this kind of sinner, because what he has done is indeed terrible. Then the next part from verses 8 to 11, we see the violence and also the blasphemy of the wicked, where he sits in ambush of the villagers. So the psalmist continued his examination of this wicked man or man who had troubled him, where the key to the nature of this wicked man is secrecy. He will lurk inside the thicket. He will also secretly do all these things. His eyes are secretly fixed. He lies in wait secretly, and now he even lies low. Next, he also murders the innocent. So this is another characteristic of the wicked man, where it's seen that he is bullying, focusing his violence upon the weak. And the weak here refers to the innocent, the helpless, and the poor. So he isn't mindful of them, or even honorable enough to fight openly against those who can fight them. So they look at them as one who is helpless, meaning to say these people are really, really weak, unable to be, just like what the Bible says, they are helpless. So this word helpless can only be seen in verse 8, 10, and 14, which actually can be seen that this person can also mean he's miserable, helpless, or even the like. But the Lord, it seems that the Lord God has forgotten. He hides his face, he will never see. So for the psalmist, this made the oppression, the murder, the bullying of the wicked man all the more worse. Because he thought, this thought that the people, that God has already forgotten. God will never see his wickedness against the poor and helpless. So it is common for men to think that God has forgotten their sins, because they were committed a long time ago. So maybe they thought that the Lord God has forgotten this. So this is actually what we can say, a blasphemy against the Lord, where the wicked man's sin was so much against man. So at that time, they thought that God had forgotten about this, the pain that he has. So you can see a great difference between the pain that one who fear God, thinking that God has forgotten, and a sinner who vainly hopes and takes false comfort in the idea that God has forgotten. Next, from verses 12 to 18, this is a prayer that the psalmist made to God for protection and vindication. So from verses 12 to 13, he calls upon God to take action. So the psalmist now call God to arise to take action. For this wicked man has found, that the wicked man found that in the idea that God won't do against anything against him. That is why the psalmist have said, "Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand, forget not the afflicted." So this is actually, we can see, even though this psalm, it is not a title psalm, but many would assume that this psalm was written to David. Because there are many psalms, especially some psalms 3 to 9 or 11 to 32. It is arranged in the midst of all these psalms that were actually written or attributed to David. Yet we know that David was a man of valiant action. He was also a man of warrior spirit. Not to just a kind of sitting passively at the bank while watching the wicked being murdered or being terrorized by the weak and the helpless. So probably this was a psalm of a cry of David to the Lord God to stop Saul. Because David knew that it was not his place to lift up his hand against the anointed ones of the Lord. So why did the wicked renounce God? So the psalmist continued to answer in these three lines, in the next few lines, where the wicked renounce God because they say in their heart, God will not require an account. So from verses 14 to 15, so here he asked God for help in view of his kindness to the helpless. So this we can see from verse 14, but you do see, for you note mischief and vexation. So when we think about this, the psalmist really realized or recognized that God has indeed seen. God really see and care about the trouble and grief of the poor and helpless. So he hoped that they'll be able, that the Lord God will repay them by his hand. This is also the confidence of the psalmist in the judgment of God, where God will most certainly repay the wicked for their sins. God will indeed answer the helpless and to be the helper of the fatherless. He also hoped that they will break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. So the psalmist called upon God to help the weak by shattering the wicked and evil men, and to thoroughly seek out their wickedness until God cannot find any more wickedness. And lastly, from verses 16 to 18, so the psalmist was confident in the judgment of God, where the Lord is king forever and ever. So the psalmist here begin this psalm in despair, where in times of trouble, but he's able to end with a calm confidence in the reign of the Lord God as an eternal king. So God had really very long time declared as the king of Israel. But at that time, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, we see when the people rejected his rule. So if David at that time wrote this psalm, especially during a time of persecution from Saul, then these words that the Lord is king forever and ever will actually have a special meaning, where he recognized the reign of God even over the troubled reign of Saul. Then the next thing, he also hoped that the nations at that time have already perished out from his land. Remember, he was thinking of what had the victories of God in the past against the enemy. Or in this case, where the Canaanites helped him to occupy their land. So this also gives the psalmist a greater confidence that he can trust in the present help of the Lord. And the Lord here continued to say, the psalmist says, "You have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear." So this continues to express the calm confidence of the psalmist, where the Lord will not abandon the poor and needy, but will continue to help them. David did not say, "Thou hast heard the prayer," but he mean that there's a greater deal to this. So sometimes we have desires that we cannot express. They may be too deep or too big, so we are unable to express in words. We also have desires that we dare not express, or we feel that we are too much bowed down to it. And we see, so as a result, sometimes all these things, the best way to turn it is to turn into a form of prayer. So, and then God here says, "You will prepare their heart." So the psalmist reminds us that the preparation of our heart is a very important thing for our prayers to be answered, for the blessings of God will come upon us. So very importantly, let us prepare our heart. We also pray to Him, and we ask God to hear our prayer, and God will answer our petition. And to do justice, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. So the psalmist at that time, he ends assurance that God will definitely execute His justice to the wicked. So we pray that Lord Jesus will continue to help us as we face these matters of life. And now we shall reserve the remaining time for our prayer. So in our prayer, we continue to pray for the church, for one another, for all our brothers and sisters, and also for the nation. Shall we now, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, kneel down to pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Or Chaitya then Fu Chue Suji Roman Pao so naming Galega War recite the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our family altar for this evening shall end here. May God bless all of you.